Hello, lacrosse friends. Welcome once again to Box the Beat on NLL Radio, also available on iTunes via Inside Lacrosse Podcasts. I'm Stephen Stamp, your host and an editor at ilindoor.com, where you can find the best of lacrosse coverage, including coverage of the NLL Cup Finals, which will be starting this weekend. And this week on the show, I have a head coach from each team and a leading player from each team. And it is a matchup of great coaches, some of the really good lacrosse minds in the game. I start with Kurt Miloski of the Calgary Roughnecks, and then we'll be joined by the Roughnecks goaltender, Christian DelBianco, who had a truly game for the ages in the West Division Finals win over Colorado. Then I am joined by co-head coach of the Buffalo Bandits, Rich Kilgore, and dynamic transition player, or just lacrosse player, as we talk about, Chase Fraser of the Bandits. All that this week on Box the Beat on NLL Radio. Joining me on Box the Beat from the NLL Finals Cup finalists, or NLL Cup finalists, Calgary Roughnecks coach Kurt Miloski. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Stamper. Hope you're well.
I am. It's good to chat with you. I haven't had a chance to talk for a little while, and you must be pretty excited. You've had some close calls, but this is the first time in a while, right, getting to the final.
Yeah, we've been to the Western Final for, you know, 6 of the 7 years, but now we're back to the championship since 2014. So the group's excited, the organization's excited, and we're looking forward to it.
A lot of change since then, obviously a lot of turnover with the team, but still the same goal, which is to go and get those two wins. And this time you don't have to worry about the mini game.
Yeah, you know, I think you find a two champion when you got the pure 2 out of 3. So it's, you know, as close as you can get to a 4-7 in our league. So, you know, whoever ends up on the right side of it will definitely earn it.
Now, you know very well what an opponent you've got in Buffalo. They're such a complete team. They've got great goaltending. The defense has been outstanding. They're a dynamic, explosive offense. But you've got to feel pretty good about the way your team, I don't know if anyone has played better than Calgary has in the last, say, 6 weeks or so.
Yeah, we've been pretty consistent. I think early in the season, we're a little inconsistent. We're just trying to find our way and, you know, kind of get our identity. And, you know, we're a little bit ups and downs here. We win one, lose one, win two, lose two. So, you know, I think we found some consistency down the stretch here, and we're just trying to continue to get better every week. And every time we're on the floor with each other, guys are enjoying each other, so we don't want it to end.
The key, one of the keys for you guys, obviously, is going to be Christian DelBianco. And watching him play last weekend, I'm trying to think if I've ever seen a goalie have a better game where he seemed more just aware of where all the shots were going, in control of them. I don't know if he gave up a rebound the whole game. It was kind of unbelievable.
Yeah, he played extremely well. You know, he tried to dictate where the shots are coming from. The defense did a real good job of that, as he attested to in his interviews. But, you know, when they did get through to the middle of the floor, he made some great saves, and he's pretty good around his crease, you know, corralling rebounds. If he doesn't have that rebound control within his crease, he grabs it pretty quick there and starts our transition. So he's a big part of our transition game, as well as, you know, obviously our cornerstone on the defensive side of things.
Yeah, I mean, last year, 17 assists, I think it was, and this year, not quite as many, but the outlet passing can be deadly. One of the things you've been working on, obviously, this year with some changes, was to get the defense where you want it to be. And it feels, watching your team over the last several years, it felt like there were good pieces in place, there were good defenders, but it just didn't quite come together the way I'm sure you would have liked and the way I expected it to. And the numbers back that up. And you had your best season in terms of goals allowed this year in, I think it's 6 years, actually. And some of the new pieces have to be big contributors there.
Yeah, no question. You know, we had great defenders over all those years. And, you know, like you said, it just – at times it just wasn't quite there. And, you know, it was important for us that there's a couple BC boys that we really wanted to get into the draft, and Eli Salama and Reese Callies. And it was important that we tried to get them. And then with that, you know, they're big, they're strong, they're athletic. And then we had our eye on Simmer and Shane Simpson, that is. And he, you know, he's a big guy too. And he's very athletic. He's got some speed, and, you know, we wanted to be able to get out and put some pressure on guys and make sure that we are athletic enough to do so. And we had tweaked our system over the last few years based on the personnel that we had. And, you know, like I said, we love the guys that we have. We love the veteran guys that we have. We thought we wanted to interject a little bit more youth to get a real good mix. And, you know, the young guys tend to have real big engines on them. And then, you know, the 23, 24-year-old kids can play forever. And so, you know, you can kind of pick up the style a little bit and change things a little bit based on that youth. And just having a little bit more gas in the tank at times. And then we can, you know, we can pick our spots where they're veterans. So that was kind of the idea for us when we're kind of forming our defense this year.
Yeah. I think Shane Simpson was pretty well documented. There's a, you know, he's a very high ranked player. And Eli Salama, I think, had become fairly apparent that he was going to go pretty high. Reese Callies was one that I think for a lot of people, including me, was a little bit more of a mystery. How high would he go? How high was his upside? And you said to me right after the draft, before we'd left the building, you said, yeah, I think we surprised you on that one, and you missed him a little bit. Callies is really good. And has he been everything you were expecting when you took him in the first round?
Yeah, you know, Reese is a good ball bearer, strong, athletic. You know, he took some faceoffs in the summer league and scored a lot of goals in transition, keeps guys off his body. For a big guy, like, you get your big, strong, athletic guys that are real good north and south, kind of seems to be the big, taller guys can run up and down. And
right.
But his east-west movement is exceptional. He's a very good athlete. He's in great shape. He lives in the gym. He just, you know, he lives a real good life, and that was important to us. And he, you know, we did the research on him as a person, and that, you know, he's a real good person away from the game, and that was support to us as well. And, you know, anytime you can get those space eaters, we call them, they can eat up the space, but yeah, can get up and down the floor and athletic enough to contribute on the other end. And yeah, a big goal in the Western final here for us. And mm-hmm. He's very physical, and you know, he's got pretty heavy hands when he needs to use them too.
What did you say to him when he took the shot of the empty net and missed it late in the Western final there? I imagine it was like, you don't have to take that shot, something along those lines.
Yeah, it's a learning process for the young guys. They're going to make mistakes, and, you know, that's kind of what it's part of. It didn't hurt us. And, you know, we're up big. We're not big. Well, big based on that game, but, you know, so it really wasn't. You know, you try not to pick apart too much of the stuff, but, you know, it'll definitely come up. You know, the Darcy Sweet rule, we call that. So that'll definitely
Now, we've talked about a bunch of the defenders, and there are a lot of other guys who were good, but to my eye, watching that game, I thought Greg Harnett had one of the best games he's had in a long time. And other than Christian Del Bianco, he might have been the best player on the floor, I thought. Like, did you have that assessment that he was just causing all kinds of problems for Colorado?
Greg's been a huge part of our team for years, and it was him just trying to stay healthy over the time. And he always gets nicked up a little bit because he's not the biggest guy, but he plays with so much heart and so much compete that sometimes he gets mismatched with some of the bigger guys and takes the wrong end of the stick. But he's been one of our better defenders for the last few years. You know, we targeted him in the draft, and some questioned us not taking Cornwall, but, you know, he's an old school warrior type player, the kind of guys that you want, the kind of guys you want to go to these wars when you go into these playoffs. And, you know, it's going to be a battle against a real tough Buffalo team. And you want guys like Greg Harnett that are going to stand their ground.
I thought I actually thought back in the 2015 Man Cup when he was playing for Victoria and they beat the Peterborough Lakers, and he was actually going up against Curtis Dixon and Sean Evans. I thought he could have been the MVP of that series because he was sensational. It just, like you said, just keeps coming. He never backs down when he's up against terrific players.
Yeah, you know, I was at that Man Cup too. I got the weekend games, and I remember Morty and I watching it. And he had a great Man Cup, and, you know, he's had a good push for us down the stretch here. He's a very focused guy in the room. He leads by example on the floor, and he's not afraid to get in it with anybody on the floor. And I think that bodes well for our group because they know that if they can bank on him if there's any trouble, then we got a few guys that are willing to get involved in it, and he's one of them. And, you know, how can a young guy not help but model himself after a guy that's just willing to do whatever it takes, whether it's soak shots, get up and down the floor as quick as he can. And his discipline's been real good, too. He knows when and where to get involved and when not to. And, been a real big part of our short man. So, you know, Giger's had a huge part of our run here.
Yeah, I loved his discipline in the final, the West final. I thought he was right on the edge where he needs to be effective, but didn't go over. He only took one penalty, and that was in the final minute. It was a coincidental minor, really meaningless. So that's huge when you get a guy with that kind of edge that can play without going over the edge. But we've gotten to this point in the interview without talking about the offense. And obviously, Dane Dolby, fantastic season. Curtis Dixon is unbelievable. Jesse King coming back is huge. But they're going to really need to play well, because you've seen, obviously, how good Buffalo's defense and Matt Vince have been on the other side. And, I mean, Colorado's very good, but I feel like you're going to need more than 8 goals to win the games in this series.
Yeah, you know, obviously they're going to target those guys in a Buffalo style. You watch the Eastern Final, and they're trying to take guys' heads off. They're trying to play by intimidation. We're hoping that the league is going to address that kind of stuff. And, you know, coaching or playing against intimidation is, you know, it's gone by the wayside. You know, we don't want to see that. So, you know, I expect our guys to just play the game. And, you know, they're key players. They're key parts of our offense. I'm sure they're going to draw a lot of attention. But at the end of the day, what the big part of both those guys has been, and along with Jesse, is that he makes everybody around them better, and we play offense by committee. So, you know, if you just want to try to lock off one guy, we still got a bunch of other guys that can contribute. And we understand our identity, not the tip or hem, but we think it is offensively. But we've got the guys understand what it is. They understand their roles within the offense, and I think that's been our success. And, you know, I'm not going to put a number on what you need to win, and we just, as long as we get one more than them, then we'll be good. But we're going to keep coming. I'll tell you that right now for how many games it takes.
Yeah, I think one thing also, I mean, you talk about you guys just are going to keep coming, and Curtis Dixon is played last year for Maple Ridge, played against Peterborough in the Man Cup, and, you know, you talk about Bryce Sweeting. He's one of the guys that was locked up against Dixon in the Man Cup, and Sweeting had a terrific series. And I think one of the things for Curtis is staying within himself, staying calm and composed. And I thought he did a great job of that sort of throughout this season, but really in the playoffs for you guys, especially whenever he was challenged, when people were paying clearly, you know, that attention that he draws, he just seemed to just keep going and not let it bother him.
Yeah, you know what, you make a good point, Stamper, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's two different leagues. Like, I watched that Man Cup, I watched all of them, and I watched the way Bryce Sweeting played on Curtis Dixon. And, you know, there's a different set of rules when you play in the CLA and you play in a Man Cup. Everything that's wide open. You can take guys' heads off. You can spear them. You can baseball them. And you're going to get 2-4-5 minute penalties, but it's not really deterrent. And, you know, we got a great product in our league. And we have Brian Lemon and those guys that don't let that happen. You're not going to be able to do those kind of things that you can do in a 4-7 in a Man Cup. You know, our legal police set stuff, they always have. And player safety is important. So, you know, the best interest of the league and probably the best interest for the NLL would be let the guys just play the game and the referees make the calls. We've had outstanding refereeing in the last, you know, 7 to 8 weeks we've had, and they've made sure that guys play within the rules. And, you know, you're not going to sell your product in expansion teams when you're going to get a bloodbath in the final. So we expect the league to take care of that stuff, and Curtis Dixon and Dane Dolby are going to play their game.
Yeah, that's a great point, because the way that Peterborough played Dixon was, it's not bad strategy within the CLA series, because obviously they could do it. But like you said, I mean, if Bryce Sweeting played him in the NLL the way he did in that Man Cup, he wouldn't be on the floor for very long. So obviously you take that forward. Is there any particular message? I'm curious how the preparation goes this week as you know, I've talked to guys the last few weeks about this. Do you try and keep the routine as much as possible and just not vary from what you do to get ready for games?
Yeah, you know, I've learned that as a coach over the years. Is as the games got bigger, you get more intense, you try to over-prepare and get too excited, and I think your players sense that. And then all you do is you add pressure to yourself. You know, we've been successful just remembering who we are, and you know, you're not far off the mark by saying you just, you know, stick to your routine. You try to keep it as simple as you can, and, you know, obviously we'll prepare for a very, very good opponent, but we'll also be making sure that we stick to what we've done the last few weeks to make us successful. And, you know, the great Terry Sanderson taught me, that's one thing I really learned from him, is remember who you are. And that goes a long way. And you know, we've been kind of sticking with that mantra within our room, and we'll prepare for them like another opponent. But, you know, obviously the stakes are a lot higher, but I don't think you want to go changing too much stuff and trying to add any type of pressure on you. And, you know, the white noise that's out there, we don't listen to that. We really are focusing on what we have in our room. And I think that's been the key to our success. And, You know, I'm sure that Buffalo tried to derail us and get thinking different ways, but, you know, being headstrong and having that mental fortitude is what's going to be key for us.
And I think following Terry Sanderson's example is pretty much always a good idea.
Yeah, a lot of time for Terry. He's a good friend of ours and with the team, and we won last time we won with him, and share a lot about him, and, you know, we think about him often in Calgary.
Really appreciate the time. It's always great to get to chat, and thanks for coming on, and good luck this weekend and for the next 3 weeks.
Thank you very much for having me, Stamper. Love being on.
Joining me on Box the Beat from the Calgary Roughnecks, Christian Del Bianco. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So you have been a busy guy this year. You set the record for most minutes played in a season by an NLL goaltender, and you go into the playoffs. You're going to the finals, but I know you love to play the game of lacrosse. So I'm sure you don't mind the minutes.
Yeah, 100%. And I think just our coaching staff giving that trust in me and kind of a little bit longer of a leash and letting me work through some tough games, and it kind of pays dividends, right? It lets you grow. It gives you a lot of chances to get better and understand different situations.
And I mean, this is your season to really run with it. The first time you've played this many minutes, you kind of took over partway into last year, your first season entering the year as the unquestioned starter, and you're playing a ton of minutes. And you did, like you said, you had a few tough games, you had a few ups and downs. Your numbers across the board aren't necessarily quite as good as they were last year, but it just looked like when you're on your game, you're still feeling like you can stop pretty much anything.
Yeah, 100%. I think just understanding that there's going to be those games is kind of a big growing point. And just understanding other nights you are going to be on your games. And at the end of the day, it's a team sport. We're not really chasing individual stats here. We're chasing kind of being in that last game and wins at the end of the day. So it was a successful season for that for us. And the best part is it's not done yet.
So you head into this weekend, and I'm curious, watching the West Division Championship, I just thought, I mean, and I'm curious to hear your input on this, your feedback, because watching you play, I figured normally the idea for a goalie is to be in the way, block the shot, you know, get your positioning, react as necessary to stop the shots. But it almost looked against Colorado like you were catching shots in specific parts, like so that you could control the rebounds. It looked like you almost knew where the shots were coming, which obviously you can only know to an extent. But did you just feel like you were able to see the ball really well and be able to get it in spots where you can control the rebounds, or am I just reading in too much?
I think there's a little bit of that I was feeling good and playing confident, but yeah. Another part of that is we were playing a team like Colorado who has guys like Ryan Lee, Jake Brouet, all these guys that Chris Ward, another guy, all these people who can get to the front of the net and get rebounds. So I think just that extra incentive, knowing that those guys were crashing to the net hard, reading the scout that if you gave up a rebound, they're likely putting it in the back of the net. So just knowing that, I think, was pretty big for that.
That's a good point. I hadn't really thought of the motivation side of it. Now, you're playing Buffalo in the championship series, your first title series. And I'm curious what you see in them because, I mean, Colorado had some dangerous shooters and, you know, San Diego faced dangerous shooters, but maybe nothing quite in terms of the depth of weaponry that Buffalo has.
I mean, I think they were one of the top teams in the league the whole season for a reason, right? Mm-hmm. So they kind of seems like they have so many different ways they can hurt you. They have a good transition game and they play as a pretty good unit up there. So I think, yeah, they definitely did set the bar, but it's kind of our job to adjust to them and be ready to go.
In terms of scoring goals, I mean, you guys got 8 goals to win the West Division final. You've had you've shown some ability this year as a team to score, but there's also, I mean, games where you haven't scored quite as many, and Buffalo's defense and goaltending are very challenging. So obviously you're going to want to put the ball in the net as much as possible. And one aspect of your game that it's easy to overlook because of the saves and the, you know, that being your primary job is your role in transition. With 17 assists last year, 12 assists this year, clearly it's something you enjoy doing. And I'm curious how much of a role you feel like it needs to play and how much guidance you've had from Kurt Mielowski and the staff in terms of how often and how aggressively to throw the ball down the floor.
Well, I think that was kind of the big adjustment this year, especially early on. We had some success, and then kind of we went on a little bit of a slide there. Mm-hmm. And just understanding that sometimes it's don't do too much, right? I think when you're down a couple goals, you try to kind of overextend yourself and just learning when to throw that deep ball, when to kind of play it safe, and just understanding what's the best decision for the team, not just for getting assists and getting points and all that other side little stuff. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. I felt like watching you kind of early on last year, it seemed like you had the goalie response of stop a shot, grab the ball, look up, and you're kind of already in motion to throw the ball because there's usually somebody going. And it seemed like as the year went on, and you know, there were some passes that I'm sure you would have liked to have back, or that mouse in the game I just said, you know, that might not be the one to go after. It seemed like you really kind of went with the same approach and up to the point of, you know, like get the ball, stop the ball, pick the ball up, and take just that beat to absorb a bit more of what's happening up the floor and whether it is a high enough percentage chance to go ahead and make the pass.
Yeah, I think in another thing, like I don't know if it's just me, it kind of seems like teams have adjusted to that a bit. And I think there's a lot of guys now in our league that are throwing the ball a lot better. You look at like Wardo, Skiggs, all those guys, right. Rosie, they can all sling it, right? So I think teams have adjusted, and we kind of have to play it a little smarter because guys will almost bait you sometimes, like waiting for you to throw that deep ball. So just understanding that, you know, there's a lot of good players in this league and a lot of good athletes, so guys aren't always going to be open.
Yeah, that's a good point because, like, in any sport, and especially at high levels, there's going to be such a pendulum, a give and take where you start doing something well and teams are going to find a way to take it away, and then you've got to find something else to do in response to what they do.
Yep, 100%.
So as you head into the finals, it's uncharted territory for you and for some of the guys on the team. It's been there's been some turnover since the Roughnecks were in the final a handful of years ago against Rochester. So what's the mood like, or what's the sense like heading into it with guys who are fairly new to this situation?
I think the big picture is everybody in our dressing room trusts each other, right? And everybody has kind of that confidence that we belong there and we can be in those one goal games, and we're kind of battle tested that way. So I don't think we're overthinking it. I think at the end of the day, the last 10 games of the season seem like they were do or die. So yeah, it's just another game for us.
Yeah, it's interesting. Someone else I spoke to for the show this week talked about overthinking and over preparing, and I can't even remember. I've done 4 interviews, so I want to get a couple people from each team to get a sense going in. But there's kind of a common theme is, you know, you want to prepare, you want to be aware of what your opponent is doing and things that you're going to do to respond to that or to preemptively respond, whatever. But ultimately, it does come down to playing your game and doing what you have done that got you there in the first place.
Yeah, and I think that's the whole theory of kind of keep it simple, stupid, right? I think sometimes you kind of get in those high-pressure games and you start to overthink things, you try to reinvent the wheel, and it obviously doesn't end very well. So just sticking to what's made you successful and just executing that.
One of the things I think, and I've never really had a chance to have a conversation with you before, so it's nice to get to chat, and I've certainly watched you play for quite a while. I mean, I called the Minto Cup when you played for Coquitlam in Six Nations back in 2015 or 14?
Yeah, I was quitting 15, that would have been quite
a while.
So
that was a while ago. I've been, you know, watching you play, and one of the things that becomes readily apparent is how much you love the game, how much you enjoy being out there. We see things like just that you play, it seems like, every chance you get. Last year with some of the Minto Cup stuff going on, and it seemed like you did such a great job of just pushing that aside, just keeping it away from you and going out and letting kids shoot on you on the floor when the one game wasn't going to be played, because it just seems like you have a passion, not just for the game and playing it, but for giving back to it. I don't even know if there's a question there, but it just seems like you really like it.
It's just the whole thing with that is just paying it forward, right? So I was fortunate enough to be around the 2010 Minto team. I was a ball boy with that, and just there was a lot of guys that were kind of took after me when I was younger and made sure that I felt involved. They'd play past me, all that stuff. And just remembering like how much that means to you as a kid, and just being able to pay that forward it's rewarding. It's awesome, right? And I think at the end of the day, the more kids you have enjoying it, the more kids are going to put in time, and the more our game's going to grow.
Yeah, what a great team that was, the 2010 Coquitlam Club that had, I mean, the, you know.
Just about been, everybody on yeah. staff. And
yeah.
It was a pretty good team.
Yeah, and now you run up against a bunch of those guys, and it's very common, obviously, in lacrosse for, you know, winter teammates to be summer opponents and vice versa. But as a goalie, that's even a little more pronounced, I guess, because you're facing the shooters. Do you find seeing guys in the summer or having played with guys gives you an edge sometime, or it's the classic, do they get the edge from knowing you, or do you get the edge from knowing them, I guess?
Yeah, I think it just kind of offsets, right? Obviously, you know a bit of what they want to do. They know what your weaknesses are, kind of thing. So I think that's the whole thing where, once again, you just don't overthink it too much, because at the end of the day, you both have a decent advantage and that same familiarity with each other.
As you head into this, another theme that's come up over the last couple of weeks with a lot of guys I've been talking to is sticking to routine, not changing things up just because it's a conference final or a championship series, but really sticking with what you do, going through the same kind of preparation, the same practice approach, the same video preparation, and the same travel, and really keeping things pretty much the same as you would through for any other game.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the same thing across the board for everyone, just because you don't fix what isn't broken, right? If it's been keeping you successful and it's clearly got both teams to this championship game, you're not going to kind of change anything. You obviously want to be well-rested, do stretching, take care of your body, all that stuff. But I think you still got to have a stick in your hand, still got to have your feet moving and all that to be ready to go for game time.
And obviously, I would imagine previous games between the teams, there's a certain amount you can take from those, but you're not going to – you don't want to put too much emphasis – on, I mean, you guys played in February, Buffalo beat you guys 12-10, but it just feels like so much is different since then. And you can look back at previous season. I mean, so much changes in the matter of a few weeks that it's almost like a fresh couple of teams facing each other.
Yeah, and I think we had just got Dixon back at that point, and obviously Kinger wasn't in the lineup, Curtis Manning wasn't in the lineup, so we're a little different look, and, you know, they've had some more time, Kluche there and all that, so... Both teams, I think, have changed a bit, but I think there's still that same familiarity a bit, and you can kind of lean on that a bit, but not too much.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show, and it's fun to get to chat and talk a little lacrosse with you. And I certainly wish you all the best going into this series. I think it's going to be a great series. I'm really excited.
No, it's really exciting. Thank you very much for having me.
Joining me on Box the Beat, multiple-time guest Rich Kilgore. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, it's Stanford. Good to talk to you, and love being here.
And it's obviously very exciting times. It's interesting looking at your career. I mean, you've won Man Cups as a player and as a coach. You've won NLL championships as a player. But this is your first shot in a finals as the coaches. And you're an assistant coach. When you guys went and played Saskatchewan, this is your first chance as a co-head coach.
Oh, it's just such a great opportunity. And, you know, I love being a part of the Buffalo Bandits, and we've had a great year so far. But like you said, I would love to, put that notch in my belt of being a head coach of a NLL championship team. It would be a great thing. And, you know, that's why I keep coming back, just to win championships.
And obviously you've got some great experience. I mean, there's been Brad MacArthur posted some throwback stuff to the 2004 championship, which you're not going to be remembering as fondly as he and some other folks have done. But, quite an atmosphere there. And I would think, given the crowds that these two teams get and the momentum both teams are going into this championship with, that it's going to be a pretty exciting series.
Oh, you know what? If you make it to the finals, you're a great team. So. Yeah. You know, it's going to be a tough road ahead of us. But at the same time, you know, we've been a really good team all year, and we're just excited at the chance we've given ourselves. And 2004, you know, that happens sometimes. And Brad MacArthur is one of those guys. I'm kind of happy he put that out there, because it motivates me more. So I love our team. I love the chance we've given ourselves, and you know, we'll just go from there.
That was very diplomatically put. I think you enjoying it being out there is probably not the first reaction you had, but like you said, just take what's there and build from it, right?
Exactly. And you know, I played a lot of lacrosse in my life, and you know, even with the Bandits, I've been to 8 championships and only won 4. So I'm 4-4.
Yeah.
And now we have another chance to, you know, put that record on the right side. So, like you said, I'm trying to be diplomatic. There's been some tough losses in my career, but there we are again. And hopefully this can be a great win.
One of the things I've always admired about you as a coach is your ability to, after a game, to compartmentalize, to put it aside and say, hey, you know, that was a great win, but we've got another one coming. Or, yeah, it was a tough loss, but there's another game next week we have to be ready for. And to do that, to be able to absorb and roll on without letting it take away from the passion for the next game to win that game. Like, within the game, you clearly want to win, but once it's over, you're ready for the next one.
Yeah, and that's what I try to get across to the players. You can't worry about what happened, you know, 15, 20 minutes ago. And we say it all the time, don't let the last one affect the next one. So, you know, as a player and as a coach, I've always tried to just, you know what, we played as hard as we could, it didn't work out, and we move on, or we played really hard and it did work out. At the same time, we got to move on. There's another game. So I think the players really appreciate what me and JT are trying to get across. And that is just worry about the next one. We can't worry about the last one. And, you know, we put ourselves in a great position right now, but that's all it is a good position. And now we have to move on and make the most of it.
I'm curious how much difference the 2 out of 3 championship series makes, because it's still a relatively recent development in the NLL, moving away from the 1-game series or the 2 games and then the mini game or tiebreaker game if needed. And you guys experienced it, a few years ago now. But what's the difference preparing for that, or is there any difference?
There is a difference. You know, me and JT, it's funny, we both kind of said, you know, it's so nerve-wracking to have a one and done.
Yeah.
It's tough, you know what I mean? Like, we talked about when we played in those man cups back in the day, you know, we could have lost 3 or 4 man cups if it was one and done.
Right.
So we just kind of, like I said, it's a really pressure-packed thing, but, you know, I like being the 2 or 3 because, you know, now the better team is really going to show up and end up being the winner. Mm-hmm. So it's a tough thing, but at the same time, you know, 2 out of 3 is way better. You're going to find out who the better team is.
Yeah.
When it's a 2 out of 3 instead of 1 and done.
One thing, as you prepare for this series, I'm curious about the preparation, because you can generally, I mean, there's all the video available. You can look back and look at your opponents and prepare, you know, any tweaks to your game plan that you want. But for Calgary, it's really, with Jesse King coming back late in the season from injury, it's really only the last handful of games that are particularly relevant, right? Because it seems to me he makes a big difference in how they function as an offense.
Oh, he's a great player, and you know, I go back to Six Nations when he was a junior call-up for Victoria.
Right.
And the guy comes in and scores a huge backhand goal. He has 2 or 3, and then he has to go back to school.
Yeah.
Where who knows what might happen if he, you know, could stick around for the whole series. He's a great player, and, you know, that's something we're going to prepare for. But at the same time, I think our team has been really spot on this whole year, and you know, we're just super excited to be to the finals again and have a chance to compete for a championship. So it's tough. Like you said, we watch a lot of film. Everyone nowadays watches a lot of film. Mm-hmm. I was never a big film guy. I want a few tendencies. That's about it. Because every play, you know, in a lacrosse game is different. And there are some times where you can almost over-prepare. But yeah. At the same time, I think, you know, it's one of those things where you just try to do your best to use everything you can to be most prepared for the game. And that's what the film does. That's what the players like. And, you know, as a coach, it's one of those things that you have to do. And we put in the time and effort, and we're just really excited to get this thing going.
I guess it's trying to find the sweet spot of you want to prepare, not to the point, because if you do a certain amount of preparation, like you said, if you over-prepare, you start thinking when you're out on the floor and start thinking, well, they do this, so we can do this, and you really go back and forth. Whereas what you want, I guess, is to get to the point where the film study just prepares you to behave instinctively, to just recognize something and be able to react without having to think about what they're doing.
Yeah. No, that you're spot on right there. Because sometimes you can say, you know, I don't want to ever, as a coach, say this is what they're going to do every time. Because yeah. It's not what they're going to do every time. And the players have to realize that we're just trying to give you the best advantage you can have to be prepared and realize what's going to happen during the game. And it's one of those things where, you know, it's a tough thing, but at the same time, it's one of those, I guess, you know, even like Toronto, we went over so much, and Adam Jones still gets 4 goals against us.
Right.
So it's one of those things where all you can do is prepare to the best of your ability and be ready for anything that comes down the pipe. And I think we've done a good job all year of just guys being ready, guys having the most information they can get, and you know, I really think the Bandits have been really well prepared this whole year, and you know, now we're just going to try and do it for 2 more games.
I'm curious with you and JT as co-head coaches, which is a pretty unusual format for a team, but you each clearly have the experience and the leadership to do that role, and you do the defense and he does the offense. But I'm curious in developing game plans and in deciding who to play. I mean, you've obviously got everyone you feel comfortable having out there, but you've got to pick the guys who are going to go in a given game and pick the way that you're going to deploy everyone. How do you two kind of bounce things off each other to prepare for that?
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think me and JT have been together for, I don't know, 25 years. And then, you know, you throw in summertime too. We've probably been together for well over 30 seasons. And I completely respect his point of view on a lot of stuff. I hope he respects my point of view on a lot of stuff. And, you know, like you said, it's tough because we have to both sit one player every game. And, you know, JT made the tough call a couple times. He actually sat Sean Evans, a league MVP. And, you know, there was a point there where Bryce Sweeting was one of our best D guys, and down the stretch we had to sit him a couple times. And I think the guys really respect that me and JT are just going to do what's best for the team. And us being together that long and, you know, playing a lot of lacrosse together, it's a really fun thing that after all these years, here we are as coaches getting a chance to win, you know, another championship. And again, I can't say how much I respect that guy. He's obviously the GOAT of all, you know, of all time. And just it was, everything comes together as a team, and we both just love lacrosse, respect it, and now here we are with a chance again to win another championship, and not much more to say.
Yeah. The one thing I think with the way this roster is constructed, the obvious kind of flashpoint, I guess, is Matt Vince coming in, and he's been great for you guys. But to me, it's really interesting to look at the way that Chugger has put together the roster, and that you and you guys have all worked together to get, you know, bring in guys like Ian McKay and Matt Gilray, who I think McKay looked good right off the bat. I think Gilray looked to me like he took a bit longer to get into the NLL game, but I think he's been very good in the last third or half of the season. You bring in guys, you know, you've developed Matt Spanger, who I think plays a big role. And, you know, some of these guys, and you get Bryce Sweeting through the expansion movement and trade and things. And bringing in all these guys seems to have really helped to pull everything together with them working with the veteran guys you've had together. What's been the process and the development like for getting everyone to be on the same page and click the way they are?
Yeah, I think I said it last, after our last game against Toronto there, Chugger's done a great job of just finding all these pieces, you know, from here and there. And, like you said, we pick up Sweeting, we pick up Spanger, and these are guys that probably other teams were like, we don't need them. But the Bandits really saw something in them, and they've been a great, great addition to the team. And, finishing out of the playoffs for a couple of years, we ended up getting a couple high draft picks, and that turns into Gilray and McKay. And they've both been really spot on all year. You know, like you said, I think McKay fit in real quick, and Gilray took a little bit to adjust to the pro game. But here we are, and they are both great, great players on a really good team. And I don't know how to really put it into words how great all these players have been, and they bought in. They really listen to what me and JT had to say, and here we are on to the finals, and I said it last week. It's kind of surreal because I knew we had a good team. I didn't think we were gonna be this good, but at the same time, we are this good. So here we go.
And I think it's interesting to watch the matchup of you and JT against Kurt Mulawski as the head coach of Calgary, because you're three of the guys in the game that I have the utmost respect for, and I look to as people I can learn a ton from, and I know your players are learning a ton, and fans learn a ton from y'all, and you're all old-school warriors when you played, and here you are going up against each other as coaches, and it's just, I think, a classic matchup.
No, it's fun, and you know what? Like you said, we've all played against each other. And, I actually played with Kurt Mulawski for a year in Buffalo in the summertime. I've played against him when he was in Calgary and I was in Buffalo. And, they got one up on us there in that one championship game. And it's really fun because we all love lacrosse. We all have, respect for each other. And I really can't wait for this series to get going because I truly believe they're a great team. We're a great team. And it's going to be a great battle. And that's what lacrosse is all about. Let's just line up and, see who gets that last win. And it's just a great thing to be this far and have a great chance at winning another championship.
I'm fired up and ready to go. I can't believe we have to wait a few more days to get this thing going. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks as always for chatting. It's always great to talk to you, and appreciate you taking the time to come on the show, and good luck in the next couple or 3 weeks.
Yeah, no, thank you, Stamper. And, I know you love your Peterborough boys, and I think we have enough on Buffalo now where you might root for us for one.
Okay. But, you know I don't root for anyone, but I knew you had to get that dig in there, so no problem. Appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it too. And like you said, it's just at this point of the year, it's great lacrosse, and it's just going to be a great series. I can't wait.
Joining me on Box the Beat from the East Division champion Buffalo Bandits, Chase Fraser. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Good to talk to you. And the one thing that jumps out at me from watching you play this season and in the past, but this season in particular, you seem to be having a lot of fun playing and really enjoy scoring goals.
Yeah, no, I'm just having a lot of fun. The guys that were around, this whole team, everybody loves everybody kind of thing. And it's just a great atmosphere to be playing with and around kind of thing. You know, it's just lacrosse is a great sport, and I love it even more. I love it a lot too. So,
and I mean, I think your goal celebrations to me are a lot of fun. And I mean, I don't like the Jose Bautista bat flip. I think that's pretty disrespectful. But when you're just enjoying the game, when you're just clearly having fun, and you're not like, I don't see you rubbing it in people's faces. It just looks like you're genuinely enjoying it and celebrating with your teammates and fans. And is that something conscious, or is it just in the moment you're just fired up?
No, that's 100% just in the moment, you know, just embracing what's going on around me, and everybody everyone's excited, especially in Buffalo when we score, and I'm just in the moment, and just whatever comes to my mind is what I end up doing. And yeah, it's not to be disrespectful to anybody in any means. I'm just having fun out there with everybody.
Yeah, Toronto really didn't seem to enjoy the celebrations you guys were having in the final, and that's not surprising from a team that, you know, is obviously, they're fired up. They want to win that game as well. But was it a little different? Did they seem more annoyed than some teams have?
I mean, it's the finals, right? It's the playoffs. It's cutthroat. Either you win or you're going home type thing. So you're trying to do everything you can possible to, I guess, move on. And when a team scores on you, obviously it does something that looks like it's preventing you from advancing. I mean, you're going to take it a certain way and try and do whatever you got to try and get yourself on that upper edge, right?
Yeah. The amazing thing watching that game, I mean, I think Matt Vince played very well. And the offense, obviously, you guys are very successful offensively. But the thing that really has jumped out to me about the team this year is the way the defense has come together. You've been a part of that. I mean, obviously, you're playing both ends a little bit. But what was the process of that defense coming together? Because it's been a couple of years of tinkering and fine-tuning and building towards what I think has happened now.
Yeah, I'd say a lot of it comes from the coach, Rich Kilgore. He does amazing job of explaining everything to all of us, or all the D guys too, and honestly to all of us, because everybody on the floor where his rest is has a chance to either go play offense, and even the D guys have a chance to transition the ball and play defense. So everybody knows the systems well. It's explained to us very consistently at practice and throughout the week through text messages and all that stuff, that everybody knows their job and what they have to do to be successful.
I'd imagine some credit's got to go to Steve Dietrich as well, with just putting the team together, putting the pieces. And I know how excited they were with the third and fourth pick to get a chance to look at guys like Matt Gilray and Ian McKay. Ian, of course, playing for Rich Kilgore in Six Nations. And they faced Matt Gilray and Peterborough a bunch, so they were very familiar with those guys. Bringing in Bryce Sweeting, who people just hate to play against. And then, working with some of the holdovers. I mean, Mitch Desnew and Steve Pirillo. I mean, it's quite a group, and it seems very cohesive.
Yeah, no, it's a very great group. Everybody molds together really well, and it's like no one's ego's in the way of anything. Everyone's just helping each other. Yeah, we're all just there for each other kind of thing, and anybody has a problem, like, it's there really isn't any problems to have there. So everyone's just getting along very well. And yeah, Chuggard, he did an amazing job this off season of bringing in the right guys that will mesh together and perform how the coaching staff and the management wants us to perform, and it's working.
How much of that do you think you can attribute to Steve Pirillo as well? I've talked to him quite a bit. I did a big interview with him. We talked for like an hour for a story in Inside Lacrosse magazine that's coming out soon. And he is such a tremendous leader, I think, on and off the floor. And it's, you know, I mean, you've had great leaders there, and you go from a John Tavares as a captain and Billy D. Smith, who are long time great leadership types. And Priolo, maybe a bit of a different style, but he seems a perfect presence.
Yeah, Priolo's leadership is the most amazing. Like, I haven't seen anything like it before. I'm still young in the league, it's ridiculous. He takes control of the room as soon as he walks in. Like, you know where he is, and like, you know his presence, and everybody respects him. He respects everybody, and it's unbelievable. I wouldn't want to have anybody else lead me at the battle.
And I mean, he is he takes winning very seriously, competing very seriously, and he will do what's necessary. But he's also, to me, one of the funniest and most interesting people in lacrosse who never takes anything too seriously, right?
Yeah, no, he's got a great sense of humor, and we're always joking and laughing, but when it's comes down to it, he knows how to get everybody in the right line to make everybody's heads into it.
So you guys have quite a challenge coming up with a Calgary team that has really come together, went 5-for-5 on the power play in their West final. The offense is so dangerous, and I'm sure you guys are preparing and very familiar with what you're going to face, and trying to get more so. But what do you see as the big challenges as you go into the championship series?
Obviously, I'm staying out of penalty trouble. That's a big thing for every game. But going into the finals, and especially with the caliber of offense that Calgary has, you have Dixon, Dobie, Dutch, and it's like that's three really good high-end names right there, right? Like,
yeah.
You just got to play our offense or play our defense, our style, and contain them giving them the shots that Matt Vince wants us to give up for him, and he can make the saves, and we can just push the ball up, and hopefully our offense can do the thing.
It must be very comforting to have Matt Vince back there, 6-time goalie of the year, and I would say a pretty good chance of a 7th one this year. And it was interesting to watch you guys early in the season, the first few weeks, you know, some growing pains, some getting used to each other. You could almost see the process playing out on the screen as you watch the games. And I always thought it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. And as the season went on, you guys just looked so comfortable working with him and as a unit.
Yeah, I know, with Matt in that behind us there, it's unreal. It gives everybody a huge confidence boost. Everybody's able to either like take that extra step or that extra little risk that not every other team's able to take, just because we like know that there's a higher chance of the ball being saved if we were to mess up.
For yourself, playing, as we've talked about, you know, you play out the back door quite a bit, you're going out the front door, you'll be on power plays. Do you consider yourself a defender, a transition player, a forward? Or I know a term Jake Withers likes to use when people talk about him as a face-off guy. He says, no, I'm a lacrosse player. Do you just think lacrosse player?
Yeah, I'm the lacrosse player. I mean, I'll play wherever, do whatever, and just I don't know. It's hard. Yeah, I'm a lacrosse player. I wouldn't define it as any position, as in I can go out there, play defense, take face-offs, play offense and all that fun stuff. So, yeah, just lacrosse player, as most of everybody in this league is, right?
Well, yeah, to an extent, but I would say, I mean, some guys are very, very much will be a forward or very much be a defender and don't have either the flexibility or the desire or aren't given the role to play as much in different positions. Whereas for you, I mean, it really depends who's available that week, you know, if there are any injuries, if you need to go one end or the other, and I guess what the game plan is too, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, game plan. Yeah, it really depends on the lineup and whoever management or coaching staff wants to have in, and whatever number that I get called, or if I get called, then whatever I get told to do is what I'll do, and it's completely fine with me as long as I'm playing.
I guess to your point that everyone in the league is, you know, just a lacrosse player. In Buffalo, it really seems like there's a certain malleability all over, where both John Tavares and Rich Kilgore, your coaches, have said, you know, hey, as long as you make smart decisions, go where the play leads you and do what the play dictates.
Oh, that's exactly what it is. It's like they want us to be creative, but yeah, we have our systems that we run. But at the same time, it's like if you see an opportunity to be creative and to score and all that, they want us to take it and just know that if it doesn't work, then maybe try something else. But the window for opportunity and to be creative is always there.
It strikes me they're both pretty calm. I mean, knowing JT and Richie for several years and talking with them frequently. They both seem like they're pretty calm guys. I mean, obviously they're fired up and they're passionate about the game and about coaching and playing, but it seems like on the bench, they both have a good sense of, you know, not freaking out on guys, not going over the top. It's being, you know, it looks as you watch them, they just take the teachable moments, work on things outside of the game, but let you guys go and play.
Yeah, no, for sure. They definitely don't say too much. They say the perfect amount. They don't let their emotions get high. Like, they're not yelling at us. They're keeping calm, and they sit off for the most, but they just let us play. There's a lot of trust on this team between all of us, and everybody knows that when it comes down to it, everyone's going to execute their jobs properly, and we'll hopefully come out successful with that way. So.
Yeah, and obviously a lot of that has to go to, because you can't coach that way in a game unless you are confident in the preparation you've done for the games, working with the guys in practice and in film and all the things that go from week to week.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We go through everything in practice. We go through film, and we have reels that get sent out to us every day that we always watch. And practice, yeah, we're going over all our plays, and it's pretty much embedded in the back of our heads now of like what we have to do. We're running the same kind of styles all year, and it's awesome right now. Honestly, we're loving every moment of it.
I bet. And it's only going to be more exciting heading into the championship final. One thing I'm curious about, it's always fun and interesting to watch to see where guys are. I mean, you're a BC guy, but you've got a Pennsylvania phone number right now, right?
Yeah. I went to school down in Philly. So I got a phone number from there, and my brother goes to school down there too. I've been all over.
Okay. Where are you right now? Where are you living right now?
I currently live in Buffalo.
You're living in Buffalo. Josh and Dan. Oh, okay. So you're in the, in like the team housing that they've got.
Yeah. We got apartments.
Okay. Yeah. I was just curious. I saw the 484 and just thought, yeah. I had to look that one up. That was a new one for me for area codes. So it's interesting. What's that like living? I mean, it looks like a lot of you have a lot of fun with some of the social media and things that the team's doing.
Yeah. Well, they keep us busy. We go to school programs. So like the elementary schools, high schools around the Western New York area, we go and teach gym classes, teach the kids how to play lacrosse. It's absolutely heartwarming, honestly, to see kids and coming out and there's a big smile on their face, having a lot of fun, puts big smiles on our faces. And we do all that. And then, yeah, just the other stuff that, all the boys and us, we were always having fun, just always out at the gym kind of thing, just always joking around. It's never too serious with us, so it's a great environment.
Sounds excellent. I know you've got more preparation to do for this weekend, but you've got to be pretty fired up. I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show, and good luck over the next 2 or 3 weeks.
All right, thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, lacrosse friends, that'll just about wrap it up for another episode of Box the Beat here on NLL Radio. I'm Stephen Stamp, your host and an editor at ilindoor.com. I think this is going to be a great championship series, and these were four great guests. Really enjoyed speaking with Kurt Miloski and Christian Del Bianco of the Calgary Roughnecks, and Rich Kilgore and Chase Fraser of the Buffalo Bandits. Everyone's fired up to go. I'm sure you're fired up to go, lacrosse friends. We're going to get to the NLL Cup Finals this weekend. Next week, we'll be back with more of Box the Beat on NLL Radio. So we'll see you next time.